everybody. Shavua Tov. There is a chat there that you can use for questions, and Representative Haber will answer you. But I'm just going to ask you, with no disrespect intended, to hold the questions. And let me say a little bit, because there's a lot of people on the video here, and I don't want to not accomplish what I wanted to talk about tonight. First of all, a little change of schedule in my own mind, based on what a lot of people are asking me. And this is a very, I'm going to start from the end. This is a very unusual but beautiful Pesach, because this Pesach is coming starting on Saturday night. And the Pesach, Erev Pesach, is on Shabbos. So when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, it's a little bit different than what we're normally used to doing on Erev Pesach. And I'd like to go through that difference. And I'm starting from there rather than starting from how to kosher your oven. And I will try to get to that either tonight or at a different time. And I'll try to answer as many questions as I can, if not tonight, in a private chat or call or something. But let me just start with the end. The way it works this year is different than every other year, Manishtana. And the difference is that usually, as the Mishnah says, Or la'ar ba'asar botkin es ha'chametz la'ar haner, that on the night before Pesach, meaning not the night of the Seder, but the night before, we do bedikas chametz. This year, we're right away in a different place, because we're not doing the bedikas chametz on the night before Pesach, which would be Friday night, because you're not supposed to do a bedikas chametz on Shabbos. So rather, we're doing the bedikas chametz the night earlier. So bedikas chametz this year is on Thursday night. And I just want everyone to have clear in their mind a plan for how to do this on Thursday, on Friday, and on Shabbos. I'm going to make a suggestion of what I think is the correct way of doing it. I'm not sure if anybody wants to do it my way, including my own wife, but this is the way I think that the matter should be handled here on this Shabbos. So Thursday night, when we do a bedikas chametz, even though it's not the night before, we do a complete bedikas chametz, meaning whatever you do every year, you take the candle, you take the feather, whatever you do every year, that's what you're going to do this year. And you're going to do it on Thursday night at the time of Bedika, which is sometime Thursday night, be after Tzeis HaKochavim, until the morning. That's the correct time to do the Bedika. And in that sense, you make pretend it's the night before Pesach, meaning there's no halachas that are any different at all. You do a complete Bedika. Before you do the Bedika, you're going to take an extra amount of chametz, presumably, because that chametz is that's what you're going to eat on Shabbos. Being that on Shabbos, and we're going to talk about it more in about 60 seconds, but on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat matzah. Many people don't eat matzah for 30 days from the time of Purim, but you know, so the matzah is fresh at the Seder, the fresh taste in our mouth on the Seder. But it goes even beyond that on Erev Pesach Mamish, which is Shabbos morning. For sure, you're not allowed to eat chametz. That's already matzah, rather. That's already a Mishnah. So you have to be able to wash on Shabbos and eat a suda on Shabbos. So it's not going to be on matzah. As Pesach thick as you make your house, it's not going to be on matzah. The only choice that I know of offhand is to make it on bread, challah, whatever you use for bread on Shabbos, whatever you use every Shabbos. So obviously, that's not going to be thrown away or burnt or anything like that on Bedikas Chametz. You're going to take whatever you're going to use for Shabbos, you should have it. My recommendation is you take something which has a little bit less crumbs than normal, especially if you have kids running around, and you put it in a bag. By the time you get to Bedikas Chametz, other than this challah that's in the bag, Everything should be Pesach thick. Your house should be Pesach thick. You don't have any more leeway except for this bag of challah, or that you have put away in mutzna, as the Rambam says, in a separate side place. All the other chametz in all of your house is going to be all Pesach Dikr ready. That's Thursday night. On Friday morning, and this is kind of strange, so I just want you to understand this. On Friday morning, we do Bir Chametz, just like we do every year on Erev Pesach, but it's not Erev Pesach, it's 2 days before. Bir Chametz means that you take, what you leave some chametz especially for this, that which you put around, let's say at the Bedika, maybe you put around 10 pieces of chametz at the Bedika. You're going to put that in a second bag. So we've got a couple of bags here ready. You're going to put that in a second bag, and that you're going to use to burn your chametz on Friday morning. And according to the poskim, even though it's not Pesach, and it's not even Erev Pesach until, and there's no isser to eat chametz, you could be eating chametz all day long if it's from that bag, from your bag one. Nevertheless, the burning of the chametz is at the same time as it always is. And the, and there's a sov zman of burning chametz, which is on Thursday morning, exactly 11:28 a.m. So that means that by Thursday morning, 11:28, and the Mishnah Berurah says, if you didn't get to do it, you can go all the way up until Chatzos if you have to. Chatzos is 12:46 here in Beit Shemesh. So,
excuse me, Friday morning, not Thursday morning?
Friday morning, thank you. Friday morning, you're going to do Bir Chametz. So you're going to take the bag of the chametz that you put away, and you're going to burn that chametz. And just like every year after the Bedika, you say the Lashon of Kol Chamira V'Chamia Dikir B'Shusei, what's in your Haggadah to do the Kol Chamira. You do that the same thing on Thursday night as you would normally do Erev Pesach. And on Friday morning, you burn the chametz, but you don't, you could say Kol Chamira V'Chamia, but you're going to have to say it again on Shabbos morning. But the main thing is that we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch that ein bir chametz ela sreifa. So the right way to do bir chametz is by burning it. So that gets done on Friday morning. Friday morning, Erev Shabbos. Let me just explain for the lamdanim here, or lamdanot, that the way, there's two opinions on what burning the chametz is supposed to accomplish. One opinion is that the result, you want to end up with no chametz. So let's say you finished all your chametz, you're done with chametz already a week before, you're very efficient. So you've done it. But there's another opinion, which is the opinion of the Rambam, which says that that's not good enough. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. It says in the Torah, tashbisu se'or mibateichem, that you need to get, you have to do an actual activity to get rid of your chametz. And that's what's done Friday morning. So you have to actually save chametz in order to get rid of the chametz. Yes? Everybody with me? So we're going to do a real bir chametz on Friday morning and say whatever it says in the Haggadah to say. So now, at this point in your week, you've done your bedikas chametz. You've said the Yehi Ratzon after the bedikas chametz. You've said Kol Chamira V'Chamia after bedikas chametz. You have from your bedika a bag of chametz and whatever else you want to put in there. That's burnt in the morning, preferably before 11:28 in the morning. And the latest is 12:46 Friday morning. And that's the Friday. And now, once we've done that, usually you're doing that the day of the Seder, but the Seder is not till the next night. Once you've done that, then we start talking about Shabbos and what to do. My advice, and what I mean by my advice, I'm not giving culinary advice, I'm giving halachic advice, that my advice is that you've already put away all of your chametz dishes, all of your chametz pots and pans, and we're no longer dealing on a chametz kitchen any longer. Your oven will be kashered by now. Everything kashered, because none of these things can you do on Shabbos. Like sometimes you might want to do something the last minute before there's nothing you can do the last minute. I mean, I can't kosher your oven Saturday morning. So the suggestion I'd like to make is to avoid a lot of problems, to get all your chametz should be away. On the other hand, let's say you take out your Pesach pots and pans or dishes and you want to use them on Shabbos. So now you have a new problem. And the new problem is you're going to eat chametz. You're going to eat challah at your meal, which is lo nora, but it's already dangerous to start eating chametz around your Pesach dishes. So a good piece of advice is that the food that you've cooked, which you can cook today, you can cook it whenever you want. The food that you've cooked for this Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, I suggest be transferred to Chad Pami, if it's possible. And once it's in Chad Pami pans, so now it's neither Pesach or it's chametz, it's just Chad Pami. Incidentally, let me just mention here that all Chad Pami this year is kosher l'Pesach. I can't find anybody that says that there's anything that's not Pesachic about Chad Pami. So I think that it's covered Shabbos because today they have very nice Chad Pami for your plates and for your silverware and for your and you shouldn't be having. What are you gonna do if you have chametz pots and pans and you have your food in there, even though halachically it's okay? How are you going to wash those pans on Shabbos? What are you going to do with them? So, you know, what are you going to do with the challah pot on Shabbos morning? So the answer is throw them away. If it's Chad Pami, you throw them away. We'll talk about how to throw them away in a minute, but that's my hatzah, that we move to this in-between stage of not chametz and not Pesach. The food, of course, is going to be Pesachdik, but except for the challah. You're going to eat challah Friday night because that's the din. The din is that ein kiddush ela b'makom suda, and you have to eat some bread unless you have exceptional circumstances all year round because of medical reasons or something like that. But for the rest of us, what we're doing is we're eating challah Friday night and we're eating challah Shabbos morning. So in order not to have to be overly careful with the challah, so use Chad Pami. That's my suggestion. If you're not using Chad Pami, or for instance, you already have a Pesach tablecloth and this and that, so then what you have to do is you have to really go out in your mirpeset and eat the challah there. That's what a lot of people like to do. That's what those who have experienced a number of these Erev Pesach Shchalias B'Shabbos remember eating outside and maybe out of a paper bag. You can do that too. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to mix your challah with your Pesach dishes, your Pesach tablecloth, or your Pesach house. You have a Pesach tikka house here. So, you know, and especially, like I say, if you have kids that can grab a piece of challah and then you don't know where it is, then you have a problem. So that's my recommendation. Now, any questions so far? Let me just take a break for a minute. Okay.
To what time can you eat the challah on Shabbos?
I'm getting there right now.
Thank you. Sorry.
Do you need Lacha Mishnah?
You need Lecha Mishnah just like every Shabbos.
Rabbi Haber, can you give children matzah shira?
Let me talk about what I want to go. Yeah, let me just. Matzah shira is a whole separate topic. Let's talk about the meal itself. Friday night's a regular meal. It's not Pesach. You just want to make sure that you're not making your house or your plates chametzdik. The morning is where it's fun. And, you know, I was makabel something from my Rebbe, besides for the, you know, his famous sheet on how to prepare for Pesach, which if you haven't seen, take a look at that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I was makabel from my Rebbe that Dafka, Erev Pesach, Shechalias B'Shabbos, if you're a Shomer Torah mitzvah, as we all are, and you want to keep the halacha correctly, if you find yourself running around like a mouse from this corner to that corner, you're probably not doing it right. He didn't do that, and we don't have to do that. Now, the issue is, you wake up Shabbos morning, and now you have a chiyuv to eat not one suda, but two meals, right? shalosh sudos b'Shabbos. And that's important. I just saw in a sefer this morning that even if you don't normally eat shal shudos, but there's a special inyan on Erev Pesach, you know, to eat shal shudos, actually, because we're keeping the halacha. Now, to answer your question, the last moment that you're allowed to eat chametz, sof zman, achilas chametz, is different than the time of bir chametz. Let me explain my terms. There's the every Erev Pesach, same thing. There's a certain time where you have to stop eating chametz, and then there's a later time, which by then you have to get rid of the chametz. Same thing here. There's a sof zman achilas chametz, which is called in halacha the Shah Revis, which comes out to be 10, 11 in the morning. Now think about this for a minute. That means by 10 o'clock in the morning, no more chametz anywhere. You're not allowed to eat chametz. You're allowed to touch chametz until 11:28. But you're not allowed to eat any chametz. According to some, it's an iser deraisa to eat chametz. The Gemara learns this from Sukkim. This is not just a drabanan ach b'yoyim harishin. That yoyim harishin means Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach this year means on Shabbos. So here we have a real challenge, because who's going to eat by 10 o'clock or 10 and 11 minutes? Who's going to eat on Shabbos morning two meals with challah, and your husband's going to go daven and listen to Kriyas HaTorah? How is this going to happen? And again, I'm taking a liberty of making a suggestion. But, you know, if you've got something more creative to say, so you're welcome to do that, as long as you don't eat any chametz after 10, 11. That's not negotiable. You can't eat chametz after 10, 11. You'll also have to have lechem mishnah twice on Shabbos morning before 10, 11. So how are we going to do this? So the first thing has to happen is, and this is something I need to arrange, that we have to daven earlier. And if there's any gabayim or gabaot on the phone, on the line over here, we have to daven earlier. There's no way to get home at 10:30 and finish eating chametz at 10:11. It's not something that's going to happen. Not how early or what does zman amar, I'll talk over with the gabayim. It's still challenging, but let's say you could start the process at 9 o'clock or 9:30. And why do I say 9 o'clock or 9:30? At 9 o'clock or 9:30, you make kiddush and you wash. And my advice to you is eat the challah at the beginning of the meal and put it away. In other words, make kiddush, eat some challah. And this is not a good time for dips and for eating challah throughout the meal. Eat your bread. It's a good thing, like pitas are good because pita don't make a lot of crumbs. It's a good time to eat a pita. Eat it. I feel you should eat it. We should eat it at the beginning of the meal and get it behind us instead of looking at the clock and saying, okay, we got one more minute. This is not a derech. So let's say it's 9:30 in the morning, you make kiddush, and you eat some challah and put the challah away. So by 10 o'clock in the morning or 9:45 in the morning, you're really done with challah, one meal, right? You're done with challah, and I highly recommend that you put the challah away and eat a normal meal. Whatever you need, whatever you eat, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I have a chap, if you want to hear it, is... this is my thought, that you can eat a lighter, you could eat a lighter meal. What do I mean a lighter meal? Let's say you like to eat milchiks. So you could eat milchiks for this meal. Why am I saying this? Because you still have shal shudos to get to. And so there's a possibility to do something like this. You can make, there's no din, even though this is probably what most of us do, to eat the big meal in the morning the big meal in the morning and some kind of a shal shudos of, you know, of salad and herring, tuna fish in the afternoon. In any case, every week you're allowed to switch it around. And shal shudos can become a big meal. But in this case, the poskim actually suggest it. So what the suggestion that the poskim are making, I say the poskim, I mean the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, that's what I mean by the poskim. They suggest that make kiddush, eat challah, eat a smallish meal, and you can't eat shel shudas until after chatzos. This is what's important to realize. So like somebody said to me, well, why don't we eat quickly and bench and then go outside and come back in, take a walk? You know, it doesn't work all that, because you're still not going to be able to eat challah because you can't eat shel shudas. It's not called shel shudas until chatzos. Chatzos is at 12:46. So there's no shel shudas, there's no mincha. You can take walks, but there's no shel shudas and there's no mincha until 12:46. So here's a hatza'ah that I'd like to make, and that is you eat your meal, whatever you eat. You bench, you make sure that all your chametz is put away. And then you have to do another bir chametz. In other words, let's say you can't finish maybe every crumb and and according to some, there's a mitzvah on Shabbos morning to do some type of an active thing to get rid of your chametz. Tashbitsu, so'ar mibateichem. So how do you do that? A fire you're not going to make on Shabbos. You're not going to start burning the chametz on Shabbos morning. So what you do is finish eating by 10:11. By 11:28, please write down these times, because I'm not asking you to keep all these times in your head. Write them down. By 11:28, you've got to not have chametz. Not only you can't eat chametz, but you're not allowed to own any chametz. Chametz is aser ba'achila, but ba'yiraya u'ba'yimotza. You're not allowed to own it. You're not allowed to see it. You're not allowed to, you're allowed to see it if it's somebody else's, but you're not allowed to see your chametz, you're not allowed to own your chametz. And of course, that goes an extra, you have an extra hour, that's 11:28. So at that point, if you have chametz, which you should, you do some type of an active bittul. The poskim of these days suggests two things, but there's really three ways. The old time way, the old fashioned way, was you take whatever crumbs and challah you have into a public domain and you shake out your tablecloth, assuming that there's an Erev, and you let the crumbs go flying and the birds eat them, and that's the end of it. The poskim don't like this so much because it's hard to find a real Rishus HaRabim, and it can be done. So what they say is the better way is to take whatever chametz you have left over, again, by 11:28, and either completely destroy it and make it inedible. The way you would do that is by pouring some sponges stuff on top of it or something like that, economica, as the Israeli poskim say, pour economica on it, destroy it, or flush it down the toilet. Whatever bothers you less, that's what you should do. You have two ways of doing it. Flushing something down the toilet is a very interesting halachic formula, because what that actually does is it takes it out of your rishus completely and obviously makes it inedible. So it's the same thing, the poskim say, as being mefarer v'zor l'ruach. It's the same thing as throwing it out to the wind. You're just getting it out of your rishus and it'll never be seen again, hopefully, by anybody that wants to eat it. So that has to be done by 11:28. Now you have time to do whatever you want, because you can't daven mincha and you can't eat shel shudas yet. Again, as I said, till after chatzos, which is 12:45. I think I'm going to suggest that in our shul, we may make a minyan at that time, but it's not important. Either way, sometime after 12:48, you should eat Shaloshudas, Sudash Lishit. And not waste a lot of time. Like maybe you're not hungry. That's why I suggested a light meal. Who's going to be hungry at 12 when you just ate at 10? So that's why I suggested a light meal. And this could be your main meal, but it can't be too late. Why? Because if you eat your Shaloshudas, let's say at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so now you get into a question. It's Plaga Mincha. The exact time, by the way, is 2:16. I take it back. 351, I was looking at the wrong thing. From 3, cross that out, 351, you're not allowed to eat a meal. So you have to be finished with your shalshutas by 351, the latest, the latest. So you want to get to a place here, and I leave it to the women here that are going to be much smarter about this than I am. You want to be in a place where, on the one hand, it's after chatzos, and it's got to be kavod Shabbos. It's Shabbos. This is not like on a regular Erev Pesach. Maybe you starve your family or whatever. No, it's Shabbos. It's usher. You have to be kavod Shabbos. You have to eat properly, but you're not allowed to have any serious meals after 351, which is the beginning of the 10th hour of the day, halachically. That's what that is. You're not even supposed to eat mezonos if you have mezonos. Now, the question, of course, everybody's asking, no bread. How do you eat shalshutas without bread? So here we have an interesting scenario, which really only comes up on Erev Pesach, which falls on Shabbos. You're not allowed to eat bread any longer, and you're not allowed to eat matzah. So comes the Rama in the Shulchan Aruch, who's the posek of all the Ashkenazim, and he suggests that you eat one of the three things, these following three things. That's basar, oaf, or peiros, fruit. Meat, chicken, or fruit. Fruit being a bidyeved, because normally most of us, again, you know, I'm sure there's exceptions to this rule, don't typically make a meal out of fruit. And if you don't typically make a meal out of fruit, we're lacking in the kavod Shabbos, yes? So, but we do typically make a meal out of chicken, even without washing. So says the Rama that you should just eat a piece of chicken. So that's why I suggested eat your light meal earlier and eat it early enough that you'll still be hungry at the Seder to eat. Then the Rama says, Yesh noyagim, that some people have a minhag, and I know the Sfardim have this minhag l'chatchila, and some Ashkenazim have this minhag. I believe that the German Jews have this minhag, if I'm not mistaken, and that is to eat matzah ashira. Matzah ashira means egg matzahs. We don't eat egg matzahs on Pesach, and most of us don't eat it even on Erev Pesach. That's including the Rama didn't eat it on Erev Pesach. But somebody asked before, what about your children? Okay, children are children. But what would be the point? What's the reason to give them matzah ashira? Just stick with your minhag. So you can get away with, if for lack of a better word, with basar, oaf, and peiros. You can also eat at this meal, which would be an interesting hinder, mezonos. So now the question is, how do you make mezonos, yeah? Like, how do you get mezonos? You can't have chametz mezonos, so you're not going to have flour and water. And you can't have matzah. Question is, can you have, cake made out of matzah meal? That's a mezonos. Or knedelach made out of matzah meal. The advantage of doing this is that you have a real suda for shalshutas. The disadvantage of doing it is there are people that have a minhag not to eat matzah meal either on Erev Shabbos. By the way, that minhag is not a halachic minhag. You're allowed to eat it. I don't want to confuse you. I'm just like, you're allowed to eat it. So if you have a minhag, you have a minhag, but you are allowed to eat it. I think what I'm going to do, though, is eat. I'm going to try to eat a fleishik meal after chatzos at 12, after 12:46, as early as possible after that, so that it doesn't conflict with the Pesach meal, and that's going to be the suda. And I'm going to do what the Rama says to do, because the Rama is our posek, and he was the posek of all of the Jews of Ashkenaz, which includes Poland and Hungary and all of those countries. And not going to eat any bread. So what you're going to really do is you have three meals on Shabbos, two of them with challah, and one of them without challah. And if you want to create a minhag of eating mezonos, you can eat some mezonos there, and as I explained. And again, I'm recommending that all of this pretty much, the morning meal should be done with chad pami, In the afternoon, if you want to, you can use Pesach stuff if you want to, because it's already, for all practical purposes, it's Pesach. You don't have any chametz around. It's already been thrown into the wind or flushed down the toilet or poured over with economica. You know? And you, so you don't have anything that that's chametz around. And you can, if you'd like, you can switch to Pesach dishes at this point. Or, you know, you could take out a Pesach pot. That's a practical issue, which, you know, you can decide without me. Let's go back for a minute. I'm sorry to do this. At or before 11:26, we're going to do another Bir Chametz, a Bittel Chametz. And what that means is that this should be part of your process of getting rid of your Chametz before 11:26, that you say again, this is the main one, Kol Chamira V'Chamia D'Ikir Bershusei, you do Bittel Chametz. You know by the way, just while I'm here, the Kol Chamira V'Chamia, which you're familiar with, it's very, very important. That's in Aramaic. Why is it in Aramaic? It's such a hard language. Because Aramaic was the language that everybody understood at the time, whereas a lot of people didn't understand Hebrew. I would say if Chazal said to say it in Aramaic, say it in Aramaic, but you should say it in English. It's very important to understand the words that you're saying. And the words that you're saying is that any chametz, this is what you're saying as you're pouring the sponge of juice on top of it, any chametz that's in my house, any chametz that I own anywhere in the world, is not mine. And we're saying really two things. It's hefker. Hefker means that I'm relinquishing ownership from it. And kaf or da'ara, and I'm considering it like dust of the earth. Those are two separate things. And you say it in English and understand what you're saying and say it with legal meaning. Like, this is not a thing that you say like with kavana like that. This is a thing that you say. It's a legal declaration. So you say this with your cup. This is a legal declaration of getting chametz out of my rishus, part of the mitzvah that I spoke about before of tashbisu. So I've taken you through Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shalosh Shudas, and what we're going to do this year, just while we're talking, is Shabbos HaGadol. It's a big mitzvah to hear a drasha at Shabbos HaGadol. The poskim say, even if you sleep through it, it's a good thing to hear a drasha on Shabbos HaGadol, Minig Yisrael. Some people make the Shabbos HaGadol drasha the week earlier, which is like a whole Shabbos earlier. Why? Because they talk about, Hilchos Pesach. What good is it to know all this that I'm telling you when it's already Pesach, when it's already all the halachas of Pesach. The fact is a little bit different today, or at least in my circles, because by the time we get to that, I will have been given here and there and everywhere probably 20 shiurim and Hilchos Pesach. And from now, by the way, until Pesach, so in my morning, every morning after davening, I give a 3 to 5 minute shiur in halacha. It's going to be all Hilchos Pesach. And I think the women have access to that too. And it's nothing, there's nothing male about it. You know, it's just Hilchos Pesach. And that's a good way to learn a different halacha every day. Hopefully it'll be good halachas. And the other reason why I'm not going to be makdim my Shabbos HaGadol drasha is because I don't talk about Hilchos Pesach anyway. I talk about whatever I talk about. So we're going to do that like right before on this Shabbos afternoon, and that's why I'm mentioning this here. It's Shabbos afternoon. There has to be time for mincha, for learning, and getting to the Seder. Of course, the Seder can't begin until it's, even preparations for the Seder can't begin until it's night. I don't know if I have the time for, yes, I do. In Beit Shemesh, the time is 7:33. It's another time to write down. At 7:33, you're allowed to, Yontif is here. 7:33, you're allowed to light Yontif candles. 7:33, you're allowed to start setting the table for the Pesach Seder. 7:33, it's Yom Tov and not Shabbos. And the way you make that big divide is by saying, Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh LeKodesh. Not what we normally say of Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh LeChol, but Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh LeKodesh. Boom, it's Yom Tov. And, you know, how to have that work efficiently is something that you all have to think about, because, you know, it's not good to start your Seder very late, because if you start your Seder very late, then it ends very late. And if it ends very late, you lose your kids and stuff like that. So I'm a believer in starting as soon as possible and trying to keep kids. We've Baruch Hashem, over the years, I have a lot of kids at our Seder, and try to keep them very busy and very occupied and very involved in the Seder, and be able to teach them the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We'll speak about it more at a different time. A last halacha in this inyan is Havdalah. Together with Kiddush goes Havdalah. Now, normally, you probably have a Havdalah candle, and you take the Havdalah candle and you light it, and then you put it out and or put it in the wine or something like that. That's how people put out your Havdalah candle. This year, you're not allowed to put out a fire. You're only allowed to turn on fires, but you're not allowed to turn off fires, yes? So, you know, in general, Hilchos Yom Tov, it's you're not allowed to turn off fires. So what are you supposed to do with your Havdalah candles? So there's such a thing. I speak about this every time this comes up. There's such a thing as a human invention called a Yak Nahazel. What's a Yak Nahazel? A Yak Nahazel is, it's an abbreviation for what you're supposed to do that night. Yak Nahaz, follow me. Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah, that means Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh LeKodesh in this case. Zman is Havdalah, Shechianu. Yak Nahaz. So whenever you have a Yak Nahaz, meaning whenever you have a hay there, as opposed to Yaknaz, whenever you have a Yak Nahaz, you have a problem with how do you put out your Havdalah candles. So a good thing to do would be to prepare two candles and twist them together, and not mind, put them in a situation where you don't mind if they burn until they burn out. In other words, let's say you have something that you bought in Svat and it's going to burn till Sunday morning. So that's probably not what you want to do. But you could take two candles, twist them together until it becomes a Havdalah candle and light it and put it in a safe way that it's just going to burn down till the bottom. Many people have the minhag, what's a Yak Nahazel, have a minhag of keeping their old Havdalah candle stubs. So it's like a real Havdalah candle, but it's only maybe half of an inch high. And you put that and you light that. And then when you make Bar Mariah, you just leave it. You just leave it. So that's the important thing with the Yak Nahazel. And I think that takes care of that Shabbos. Now, I know this is not what I talked about preparing for Shabbos, but this is where I think what we need to do in the first level of preparation is preparing for what? So is there any questions so far? Let me, before I just take a few minutes to get to start with the next topic.
Rabbi Haber, if you do all of these things, so if you decide to eat the pita outside, so how do you do, I'm sorry, if you decide to eat the pita outside or the challah outside, so what do you do about Kiddush B'Makom Suda? That's what one of the ladies asked.
Right. So Kiddush B'Makom Suda L'chatchila means that you're making Kiddush where you eat your meal, where you eat your bread. So that means you would make the Kiddush outside and eat the bread outside and do all that outside. And then if you want to, you can eat your whole meal outside. That would probably be the smart thing to do. But who knows if it's going to be raining or what, you know. So it's not necessarily an easy thing for everybody to do. So that's your Kiddush Makom Suda. Wherever you're making wherever you're eating your challah, you have to make your Kiddush. There is a provision. There is a provision for seeing. The Mishnah Berurah brings one opinion that if you at least see where from the floor you make Kiddush, let's say your dining room table, and you can see where you're going to eat your challah, right? So the Mishnah Berurah brings one opinion only, which is against the poskim, that say that's also called Kiddush Makom Suda, but it's not the right thing. The right thing is to either make Kiddush outside or eat your challah or your pita bread inside carefully. Those are two good choices that should be done.
Question and then some other ladies do, but can you eat only challah or do you have to also eat something else, fish or egg salad?
No, just challah. But a kazayas of challah. Yeah. Mrs. Eichler, what is it?
Can you just throw away whatever crumbs are left? Can you throw it in the garbage?
No. No. If you throw it in your garbage and you're gonna have chametz in your house.
Outside. Outside.
But that's a very good question. Can you walk over to the heaven in Israel, the public bins?
Right.
And throw it in there. So this is a big hakira as to whose chametz is it inside that bin. Now, it's probably not yours, but it does belong to the Uriah, and the Uriah is a Jewish Uriah, so it's not like America, you put it outside on the curb. This is Israel, so the Uriah, now I was told, I'm just saying this for the pilpul of it, that the Uriah sells all the garbage bins before Shabbos, so when you're throwing it in, you're actually... you're actually throwing your garbage into a bin, which is owned by some, let's say, Filipino, that whoever they sell their chametz, or an Arab, who they sell their chametz to. You can do it. You can be relying on that. But instead of relying on mechiras, the better thing to do is just simply get rid of it. And plan, Mrs. Eichler, plan it out that you only have a few crumbs left.
Well, of course.
Yeah, that's the way to...
And it doesn't matter if the bin is in your, from our building, or if it's in the street.
In your building, this is not good. If it's in the street, it's better. Okay.
Can you pour bleach on
the huts? That is our...
Okay. Pour bleach. Okay, so let me go further. You can, by destroying the chametz, you've done the mitzvah of bittul chametz. That's what you've done. You're actually destroying it. If you throw it away, you didn't destroy it. Yeah, you didn't destroy it.
Bauer has a question.
Okay, I have actually two. One is, can you use your Shabbos candles for Havdalah?
Yes, like I said, not the Shabbos candles you're lighting Shabbos candles with. You could take two extra candles. You need at least two wicks. And mm-hmm. a Havdalah candle, you could twist
you
it together.
You can melt it for two.
You do that, two Shabbos candles. Yeah, you could do that before Shabbos, obviously. You have to do that, though. You can't melt two candles together on Shabbos. Yeah, what's the next question?
Okay, and what is the Zayin and the Laman stand for?
Zman means Shechianu. Laman means nothing. It's in Yiddish, we put a Laman after everything. Medela, Medela, Disela.
Rabbi Haber, when you put the Shabbos candles, you can't lean two Shabbos candles together to make it into one flame?
You're not allowed to melt candles together on Shabbos.
Not melting it, just that the flames are together.
You can do it on Shabbos. It's a shaila and halacha because you're creating something new on Shabbos, and some say it's even making a weaving on Shabbos. So you want to stay away from that. And that's why I'm telling you this now. You want to prepare this tomorrow. Just prepare it, or get your Yakna Hazel out, or Yakna Haz out, and let's do it right on Pesach night. We're gonna talk again. I hope we'll meet again, maybe even twice before Pesach. But let me speak again about starting from the end. Let me talk about mechiras chametz, selling your chametz. And I want everyone to understand what that means. Mechiras chametz is an instrument, a legal instrument which is used, that takes any chametz that you might have, from a piece of bread to a bottle of whiskey to your whole house. Let's say you have a house in somewhere that you're not using, or to a room in your house, and transfers the ownership of it to a non-Jew. That's not a way of getting rid of chametz. That's not a way of bittul chametz or bir chametz or bedikas chametz. What that is it means that it no longer belongs to me. So if it doesn't belong to me, there's no reason why it's my responsibility to even check it. This is a very important halacha, and I want to just make two points about it, which is very important. Number one, what that means is that, let's say you have in your kitchen, I'm not in anybody's kitchen except for mine, but let's say you, in your kitchen, you have cabinets which you keep your chametz in. So, or your chametz dishes in, and you just can't be, you don't want to be bothered. You don't have the time or the koach to start taking them out and washing it. It's a very simple thing. If you don't need access to those closets, those pantries on Pesach, sell them. I'll do it for you. It's just sell them. This is a 100% legal transaction recommended by the Shulchan Aruch to do, that those cabinets don't belong to you any longer. And once they don't belong to you, you have no responsibility for getting the chametz out of them. I want to tell you something. Probably there's a lot of things that you're going to need to purchase for Pesach. I want to give you like probably one of the most valuable things that you can purchase for Pesach, not matzah meal and not wine. There's something you can purchase for Pesach, which is a little sticker called chametz. You can also make them. The sticker called chametz goes on the pantry chametz. You want to be more, a bigger lamdan. So write macher lagoy, sold to a guy. But the idea is that this is not ours. And you sold it. There can be shelves in your pantry. There can be drawers in your kitchen. There can be rooms in your house that you don't have to do anything with. You just seal it off and get one of these stickers. And then when you fill out the chametz form, which will be made available to you, when you fill out the chametz form, whether you do it online, whether you do it in person, doesn't make it that much of a difference. You'll mark on the chametz form that like put numbers on your rooms. Bedroom one is being sold to a guy. My liquor cabinet is being sold to a guy. This is very important and obviates almost 50% of the questions that are at least asked of me every single year. It's, you don't have to clean it. You don't have to wash the dishes. You don't have to do anything. The other thing which everybody wants to know, and it's confusing, is can you sell real chametz? Okay, I can sell my all year long coffee or even my dishes, but can I actually sell bread? Let's say I have bread or cookies or something like that, and I have it in that closet there, right, that I'm selling. Can you actually have chametz? So I ask you, why not? the only reason why not is if you don't rely on me to actually sell it properly. Some people, I think, which has to do something with like with some of the rabbis that I grew up with, they don't take a chance on it and actually end up owning chametz. You know, it's selling chametz has taken on a much more serious, level in the last number of years, Baruch Hashem. So it's about now, you're selling it to a guy. It can be a box of, it could be a loaf of bread. Now, I'm not disregarding if people have a minhag not to sell chametz gomer, but I just want to point out to you that it's a minhag. Many people don't sell chametz gomer. Many people do sell chametz gomer, and you're allowed to halachically sell chametz gomer. I'll give you a perfect example of this. Nobody's selling bread, right? But I have like a whole bunch of bottles of schnapps. Why? Because you were all so kind when you gave me shalach manas. And I have bourbon and I have scotch and I have all kinds of things, Baruch Hashem, and I'm hoarding it. Like, you know, I put it away and I don't, you know, I treasure it. But it's all chametz gomer. It's completely chametz. So what's it made out of? It's chametz. If you have beer, it's completely chametz. So that chametz, you can either take, you know, $1,000 worth of whiskey and throw it down the toilet, but people don't do that. The whole reason why the Chachomim created the instrument of Mechiras Chametz was for that schnapps. That's what they were talking about. That's what the Gemara is talking. The Gemara talks about Mechiras Chametz. The Gemara is talking about the schnapps because nobody can throw. It's a tremendous hefset. Not talking about you have a cookie. talking about the schnapps. So this is very, very important for everybody to know that you can, that if there's a room in your house or a house, or let's say you're going away for Pesach, which very few people are doing now, but let's say you're going away for Pesach, you're going to your parents or your in-laws or to a hotel or whatever you're going. So you can sell your whole house, just sell the whole house and you have no obligation, but, and listen carefully, you still have an obligation to do bedikas chametz, to do beer chametz, which is burning of the chametz, and bittel chametz, which is saying kol chamir v'chamir. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that even if you sold your whole house, you have to make sure to leave a little area somewhere, or sell the whole house and wherever you're going, make an area yours. Like if it's a hotel, maybe that's yours, you know, like you're renting a, what do they call air, you know, B&B, whatever. Yeah. Bed and breakfast. And let's say you own it by renting it. So now you have to do your bedikas chametz there and your beer chametz. Everything that I described has to be done there. But you see, those things you have to do, not because of the result that you want to end up without any chametz, because it's a mitzvah to do those things. It's a mitzvah to get rid of your chametz. So that's a very important point of mechiras chametz. I have 5 minutes. And let me just give the first introduction about kashering your kitchen. Amir Sashem, next week at the same time, I will talk very quickly and we will talk about kashering the kitchen and as many ingredients. I have to be very honest with you. I know halacha pretty well. I spent a lot of time on it. I've been giving these kind of shiurim for 40 years or so, but I'm not a big expert in the pickles and in the mayonnaise. I'm just not. So I just don't have the time to go through all the lists and know. So I'm not really like such a good person to WhatsApp from the supermarket, like, can I buy this and send me a picture and expect an answer within, under a minute. I'm just not good at it. I'm sorry if I ask Michiel if I'm not doing my job well, but I just don't know. What am I supposed to do, make it up? I just don't know. So if I can help you, I'm happy to help you, but that's not the right way. On the other hand, the Rebbetzin Haber here is keeping a lot of track of people's questions and issues and products, and she does know a lot. And she's offered, am I correct, Bela? You've offered to research it to a certain extent and find out what's good or not good. But like, let me just say something simple. Buy things with a good hechsher. So buy things with a good hechsher. If it has many products this year have an OUP on it. And the reason for that is because the OU has been in the last 12 months has made a very strong entrance into the Israeli market. Both with American products and Israeli products. So that's always good, 100% good. What's also good is anything with a badatze de charedis or any of the, we can send around the main hechsherim, but I'm always hesitant to do that. You know, the chasam sofer, everybody asks me, can I use this chasam sofer, that chasam sofer? That problem was fixed already 5 years ago and you can use both chasam sofers. There's a hechsher called the Rav Landau. You can use that. There's most of the good hechsherim that you use all year round. There's nothing here special about Pesach. Most of the good hechsherim that you use all year round, you can use on Pesach. So just like you know how to keep kosher all year, you really know how to keep kosher on Pesach also, and probably better than me, as a matter of fact. So,
except that you have to look for the ochle kittens for people who do eat.
Maybe talk about this, Bela, because you've done a little research.
Me?
Yeah, you go ahead.
First of all, I'm hoping to go to the supermarket tomorrow morning and see what everybody has put on their shelves, because as Lauren said, it's hard to eat, to find chametz at this point. There's a lot of things to, I'm sorry, there is a lot of hechsherim and supervisions out there that are in Israel for people who eat kitnios being legumes, which includes lecithin, I believe. It includes a lot of things.
We're going to speak a lot about that next week. Yeah.
Next week. So, So if like, and I'll put it back up on the thing, if you don't learn to read anything else in Hebrew, learn to read that. So a lot of things, vinegars think of, so ketchup, mayonnaise, certain things like that. You have to make sure that it's not for Ochlei Ketnios Bilvad.
Meaning it's kosher l'Pesach for everybody.
It's kosher l'Pesach for everybody. There, it's not such an issue now, but at one point, there are people who feel very strongly that if you live in Israel, you should eat Ketnios, so they don't delineate it so clearly on their packaging, but I think that's gone out of fashion. There's also the OU is the OU with a large capital P. There's no other P on OU. If it's dairy, it says dairy. If it says DE, it's dairy equipment. I don't know if they still do that either. The Ov Tov chicken, which was called Reb Orbach chicken, is now OUP, OU kosher, for, and it doesn't have the P on it, but it does say kosher l'Pesach. And like I said, I will be, you can WhatsApp me on the kosher l'Pesach 5781 group, and I'll try to answer your questions when I can. And as I said, I am going to get to the store tomorrow and take pictures of the things that are available. Yes, Deborah.
That's a one-way chat.
It's a one-way.
They have to one. They have to WhatsApp
right. You have to PM me. You can WhatsApp me on my WhatsApp chat, my WhatsApp, and I'll be happy to get back to you.
Rebbetzin, I've seen something that said kosher l'Pesach erev Pesach. What is
right.
that?
Oh. Kosher l'Pesach erev Pesach. It's a very good question. There's a lot of people. It's probably on something dairy. A lot of people who only use dairy things that were. That was from milk that was milked before Pesach. So kosher l'Pesach, erev Pesach means that this cottage cheese, this yogurt, this butter made with milk that was milked before Pesach because people don't want to eat.
It could also mean, by the way, like I spoke about before, it could also mean cake and cookies and knedelach and all kinds of things that are made out of matzah meal, which can be kosher l'Pesach, erev Pesach, but they don't want to take the chance of saying Pesach because maybe you don't eat kebrucks on the Seder night for a number of reasons. So it's not only on dairy. It's very interesting that some of the hashkachas made them write kosher l'Pesach, erev Pesach on things that you're allowed to eat erev Pesach, even though you're in this twilight zone here of no chametz and no matzah, as I spoke about.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. I'm gonna end the session, and everybody has Vela's phone number and my phone number and the Mir Tzashem. If you have specific questions, I'll try to address it next week at this time. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm ending abruptly, not because I'm an abrupt type of a guy, but because I said to begin with it's gonna be end at 9:45, so I want to just keep my word.
Thank you very much.
Anna left already, but she asked if this should be in memory of Father Moshe Ben Er. So I just want to
say
for next week we'll definitely have it in mind. She put it up a little late. Okay, call two.
Call two.
Thank you very much.